You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We're trying to get in connecting, and we are connected. My goodness, I thought I was going to struggle. No, we did not. We do have our next guest for our next segment, our GROW model. This is when we get to learn things that will help us become better people in our realistic lives. And I say this with all humility, I'm not suggesting any other thing is not realistic. Joining me now is Dr. Emmanuel Mwale. Dr. Mwale, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
So today we're talking about the great hope, the cosmic conflict mostly. There's more to our world than meets the eye. We have always been told this. But then again, the great hope pulls back the curtain and reveals a cosmic conflict between good and evil. This isn't science fiction. It's a battle for every heart. If we're caught in the middle of this battle, shouldn't we understand what's really going on? That's why we have Dr. Emmanuel Mwale to talk to us about it today. So, Doc, how does the Great Hope describe the origin of evil?
Okay. So, God created the perfect world. The universe was perfect. It was in unity. There was harmony. But the Great Hope tells us that one of the created angels by the name of Lucifer got dissatisfied with his position under Christ. And so he wanted to take the position of Christ because he was not being consulted in the councils of heaven. So he became envious of Christ, and as a result, he rebelled against God. It was not it did not start like he was intending to rebel. The angels in heaven did not at first understand what was going on. He told them that he was working for the good of heaven. And so in the process, a third of the angels of heaven rebelled with him.
Right.
And so because they could not be kept in heaven, they were thrown out of heaven. And this is what brought rebellion. And when they came down here, they decided also to lead the human beings away from God through the same process that started in heaven.
Yeah. So point us to some clues in our world that point to a larger spiritual battle.
We can point to wars, for example. If the world was created perfect, there was no war, there was unity in the world, we ask, where did these wars come from? For example, the wars that are going on right now between Russia and the Ukraine, then you have Israel and Gaza, and the many wars that have been fought throughout the world. And then you have also earthquakes, tsunamis, cyclones. And then just look at crime that is in the world today.
Right.
Generally, there is woe and desolation. You have sicknesses, untold sicknesses. You have death. All these things point to what happened, which was not supposed to be there.
Okay. All right. So how can we understand, or how can understanding this conflict reframe our view of suffering? Because generally people have a variety of worldviews and how they explain why people suffer, but I'd like you to give us the perspective of the Great Hope. This text has its own perspective, so give us an understanding of this conflict that'll help us reframe our view of suffering.
Okay, so contrary to Charles Darwin's view that the suffering came alongside the evolution, as part of evolution, the Great Hope tells us that the suffering actually came from the rebellion of the devil.
Okay.
It didn't come through evolution. And so this understanding helps us to not to point to anything as the source of suffering, but to Satan himself, because he's the one who brought suffering. When we see human suffering, and really there's suffering in this world, sometimes we ask questions, so why? how. But understanding that there's a controversy between Satan and God, we are able to point this to the real source of suffering. And somehow we are saved from shipwrecking our faith.
So what about those Bible verses that suggest that it is God who brings suffering? How do we explain those verses?
Okay, so let's give maybe let's see, get back to the book of Job.
Yes.
Where Job is attacked and is attacked by the devil.
Right.
He himself doesn't know that he's attacked by the devil.
Right.
It appears as though God himself is the one who has brought suffering upon his life. But when we go through the book of Job itself to the very end, we are able to see that the devil is unmasked because he asks God to inflict pain on Job. But God permits him to do so. So without understanding the great controversy theme, would think that suffering comes from God, and
right.
yet it's the devil himself who brings the suffering.
Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Yes.
Go ahead. No, please
yes.
go ahead. Please go ahead, Mfundisi.
Yes. The text that may suggest that God is the one who brings the suffering should be understood in the context of the theme of the great controversy. Sometimes it's a text, for example, may appear to suggest that God is the one who is bringing suffering, whereas it's just stating that God allows what happens.
How about I give you the text, Mfundisi, and then you can give us an explanation
yes,
of that specific.
Give me one particular one.
For example, the famous one that everyone knows is Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. Isaiah 45, verse 7 says, I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's one that is very clear. God is the one. In other versions, it says, I create evil. Are you still there, Pastor?
Okay. Yes, I'm there.
Okay. So the King James Version says,
okay.
I make peace and create evil. That's Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. How do we explain that in this context that you're saying we should read it in its context?
Okay, so let's look at also the context of Isaiah.
Okay.
They have rebelled against God. And Isaiah is a gospel prophet. The first part of Isaiah is talking about the sins of Israel,
right.
And how God will judge them. The second part is talking about the restoration. And so, yes, God creates light. God, whatever is good comes from God.
And bad.
Okay?
And
yes,
bad. Well,
everything that is good comes.
No, I'm saying here,
yes,
this
God,
verse says good and bad. I form the light and the darkness. I create peace and create evil. So this verse says both good and bad come from me. And God appears to be speaking in the first person here.
Yes, there are things that God created. If you look at good and, let's look at darkness and light.
Mm.
That's what we see in Genesis
That's
1.
Right. That's right.
We are taught that God is the one who gave us, light came from God.
Right,
He
right.
said, let there be light.
Yes.
But when we look at evil, that he says, I create.
Yes.
Let's look at the children of Israel, for example.
Right.
They sin. God sends Nebuchadnezzar to encircle Jerusalem, and in the process, they are taken into captivity.
Correct.
The destruction of Jerusalem is done by Nebuchadnezzar, but God, being sovereign, he allows that to happen. And then also the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. It's because of the Jews who have sinned against God. God allows it that it gets destroyed. So God can use agents that he has created to sort of disciplining people because of what they are doing. So in that context, we would say God says, I create evil. But he is not the author of evil in the sense in which we have explained already the source of evil is the devil. But God is sovereign, and being sovereign, he permits, he allows what we may see as evil for the sake of creating peace in the world.
Okay, let's move on, Doctor. What is the devil's ultimate goal, really? How does he work to achieve this ultimate goal?
The devil wants to be worshipped. The devil wants to rule the entire world. As a matter of fact, the rebellion itself, the controversy started with the devil wanting to replace God, as it is seen in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. He says, I will ascend to the throne of God. He wanted to be God. And so how does he attempt to achieve this? He uses falsehood and misrepresentation. He does things, but puts the blame on God in order for people to believe that he is not the source of evil, but God is the source of evil. In the process, people turn to him, and then he hopes that by that, you will be able to defeat God and rule the world.
Okay. Final question, Fundis. We have the impending understanding that we need to tell people that they're in a great controversy, this cosmic conflict, as it is put in The Great Hope. Do tell me, really, how does knowing we are part of this great controversy really impact our choices? Does it really impact our choices at all?
It does, very much it does, because we know that there is good and evil, and the good is associated with God.
Okay.
And we know that if we choose good, we will, yes, we may experience certain things that as a result of sin have come to everybody. Like we may get sick, we may die, but this is just the first death. But things like crime, for example, if we choose the we know that there's a great controversy between good and evil, and the devil is the source of crime.
Right.
We will not choose to steal.
Okay.
We will not choose to kill. We will not choose to commit adultery.
Right.
We will not choose to do things that are associated with the devil. Instead, we choose God.
Right.
And by choosing God, we are actually electing God as being our ruler, and we are saying we are part of God.
In
a way, this helps to establish the kingdom of God on earth when time is right.
I hear you. Okay. All right. Let's leave it there for today. Thank you very much, Dr. Mwale. Really appreciate your time and your insights. We're doing this again tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a wonderful day further, Doctor.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, too.
Thank you very much, sir. That's our guest for this week in our Grow Model, Dr. Emmanuel Mwale, talking to us about The Great Hope, another piece of literature penned down by our key architect of prophecy in this church, Ellen Gold White.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.